With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Podcast. New episodes every Thursday, podcast1.com and Apple Podcasts. Hope you all had a great week. And boy, do we have a monster podcast for you to enjoy with some killer guests on this week's episode. We're going to get into that in just a second. Well, let me tell you right now who the guests are because it is incredible. First, it's a double dip this week. First up, Steve Harris of Iron Maiden. And then that'll be followed by Sully Erna and Tony Rombola from Godsmack. Of course, all of the interviews you hear on the Eddie Trunk podcast happened on my Sirius XM radio show, Trunk Nation, which you can hear on Volume Channel 106, live every day, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, replaying 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and on demand on the Sirius XM app. If you're in the U.S. or Canada, please join me daily on Sirius XM. You are only getting a tiny taste on the weekly podcast of what I'm doing there. Everybody else around the world, well, you can't get Sirius XM, but this is another way to share these interviews with you and what interviews we have. I had a chance to see Iron Maiden live this past Saturday in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center, the second of two shows they played in that arena. Remarkable show, remarkable production. Bruce sounded incredible. The set list is incredible. If you want more details on that and you want a full review of the Maiden show that I saw, if you are a Sirius XM subscriber, I did that on Friday's show, last Friday's Trunk Nation on Volume. I did a detailed rundown of the Iron Maiden show, and you can go ahead and grab that on demand and listen to that breakdown where I ran down the set list and some things that I learned, but Iron Maiden's going to be in the U.S. and Canada now for the next couple of months. If you get the chance, see them. It's incredible how good they still are. It really, really is. At the top of their game still, more than four decades into their career. And if you're into the old school stuff, man, this is a hell of a set they're playing. The Trooper into 2 minutes to midnight into, or Trooper, Where Eagles Dare into 2 minutes to midnight. I mean, how do you beat that? That's unreal. Revelations is in there. Flight of Icarus is in there. Hallowed Be Thy Name. Just an amazing set if you're into old school Maiden stuff. But more importantly, played by the band that made it for the most part. And sounding great. And most importantly, you know what a peeve that is of mine. That they're playing all live. Even Adrian Smith spoke out against the band's playing to tracks and faking it. It's becoming a movement. It needs to become a movement because it needs to stop. And great to see Adrian speak out against those bands and saying, hey, we're fully live, and I don't believe rock bands should be playing to tracks. And made that statement in so many words recently. So it's becoming a thing. And I got people talking about this, and it's got to continue because we got to put an end to it. Maiden, of course, Do not do it and sound amazing, all real, all live. The fans, so into it. Brooklyn was like taken over by people in Iron Maiden shirts for a couple nights last weekend, and it was phenomenal. So dates near you, if you're outside of America listening, this tour is continuing. Rod Smallwood, the band's manager, was telling me they're getting ready to go to South America and Mexico, where the crowd reaction and the audience is absolutely off the hook for that band. So they're coming and they're continuing, and this tour is going to go for a while. And then if you follow the Iron Maiden formula, that would mean that, you know, the next time around, we'll have a new record and a tour that focuses on the new record. Bruce Dickinson even made a comment saying, hey, you're getting absolutely no new material tonight, which he thought a lot of the crowd would cheer about, but very little did. And then later on, he thanked the crowd for not cheering because he said, I'm so glad our audience is open to new music. Really, really special what goes on with Iron Maiden and their fans. And, you know, with Metallica, probably Maiden and Metallica, the two biggest metal bands in the world that we still have, and still both really, really good. So Steve Harris on this week's podcast, I'll tell you a little bit about that interview. We'll get to that in a second. That'll be followed by Tony and Sully from Godsmack, who are having tremendous success with their latest album, When Legends Rise. We'll talk about that as well. Before we get to our guests, I do want to tell you about Pluto TV. It's amazing because Pluto is the leading streaming television service that is totally free. You can watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, and it's all completely legal and completely free. Pluto TV doesn't even ask for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy, like I said, completely legal, and it's a great way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies without paying a penny. So what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Just download Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV for free. It's on all your favorite devices, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream. Check it out. I watch it myself. I've got a beach house that only has streaming outlet on the TV, and Pluto is a godsend. Pluto TV, everybody, totally free and legal streaming.
Live by Live has all of your favorite music, and you can listen for free. Whether you hit play on one of our hundreds of curated music stations or create your own custom artist radio station, you'll find the music you love on Live by Live. Visit livexlive.com or search LiveX Live in the App Store or Google Play and listen for free now.
So as I was mentioning, Godsmack, Sully Erna, and I think I posted this as a podcast, he was on with me less than a year ago when this record came out on my radio show, and he was apprehensive about this new record because it's the first time Godsmack worked with some outside producers and tried something different, and it has gone tremendously well for these guys. They have just scored their third number one song at rock radio with a song called Under Your Scars that they did a video for. And they're doing great on the road. They just, they're currently out there touring right now. So the second half of this podcast this week will be Tony and Sully, who came into the studio about a week ago for my SiriusXM show. And I had just seen them a few days earlier because I shot an interview with Sully at a jail in Ohio at a festival called Incarceration. And two, three days later, they were in New York, and that's when we did this interview that you'll hear later on in the podcast. Speaking of TV, four episodes now have aired of the new season of Trunk Fest on Access TV. Five more weeks of new shows. Please watch. I appreciate you checking it out. Every Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific, Access TV comes up as AXS on your grids. The show is called Trunk Fest, covering a different music experience every week. Last week, I was in Vail. I understand, and I've said this before, and I completely get it, folks. I understand that this show I'm doing, A, is not that metal show, and B, it covers a lot of genres of music. But the show is more about the experience. It's almost a travel show about everything that goes on at different music events. It's not so much about the music and the genre and who's playing. It's about the food, the experience, the attractions, and gives you a little insight on what goes on. So even if the artists I'm talking to in an episode are not necessarily your thing, you should still enjoy the shows because there's a lot going on that isn't a traditional interview with an artist. That's just a small element of what I'm doing there. So be sure to check it out. I hope you like it. I thank those that do. Trunkfest Access TV every Sunday, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. DVR it, watch it. Half an hour show. Won't take too much of your time. And I think you will enjoy it as we're at the midway point of season two. So thank you for that. And like I said, listen every day on volume if you're in the U.S. and Canada to Trunk Nation live 2 to 4 Eastern, replay 9 to 11 Eastern. As you're hearing this, I'm wrapping up a week in Los Angeles and getting ready to fly back to the East Coast in a day or so, coming off of another Trunk Nation LA Invasion live broadcast from the Rainbow. I'll tell you more about that next week. So let's get to it because we got two great interviews. I don't want to do too much here at the top. You know the deal. You can get me on Twitter, at Eddie Trunk, where I am most active. Instagram, at Eddie Trunk. Fan page on Facebook, at Eddie Trunk. And, of course, eddietrunk.com. That is the official online home. There's music news updated there daily. You can see all my appearances right on the homepage. All access members, you get my terrestrial radio show on demand and much more. And a lot of appearances. Oh, before I forget on appearances, next one will be August 17th in Houston at Warehouse Live hosting Tom Kiefer. And also on that bill is a band called Electric Radio Kings that features my old friend Stacey Blades, formerly of LA Guns. So that'll be a lot of fun. Look forward to seeing everybody in Houston on August 17th. That's the next appearance, but there's a ton of them, and they're all on the homepage of my site. But I also, real quick here, want to thank everybody who came out to my latest speaking show, which was last Friday at a place called The Back Bar in Janesville, Wisconsin. And that was my second speaking show 2 weeks in a row. I tell rock stories, Q&A, bands play around me. It's a lot of fun. And we had a great time there. I even did my radio show in the afternoon from the venue and then had the live show at night. And I want to thank Bob and everybody at the Back Bar, Crash Karma, cool band that played just before me and played after me as well. Two-piece band, really cool, really interesting. And all the fans that came out, man, it was so cool. It's such an honor to have people just come out who are willing to hear me talk and tell my stories and do some Q&A and some Stump the Trunk. There's another one coming up, and that is happening. It's on my website. Hold on. Let me see if I can pull it up for you right now because I should probably mention it since we are doing this podcast and people in that area. But again, all you got to do there you go. There's the perfect example of why I tell everyone to go to eddietrunk.com because that's exactly what I'm doing as I'm speaking to you to find out my own schedule. All right. So August 17th, Warehouse Live, as I mentioned, New Bedford, Mass, September 6th, the Vault Music Hall. That's the next speaking show. The thing in Houston, I'm just hanging and hosting an intro in Kiefer. The next three events, August 17th, Houston Warehouse Live, hosting Kiefer, September 6th, New Bedford, Mass, the Vault Music Hall, speaking Q&A show, September 13th, hosting LA Guns at IDL Ballroom in Tulsa, September 20th, Shawnee, Oklahoma, hosting Deep Purple, Pat Travers, and Joyous Wolf, Fire Lake Arena. And then we get on to Sammy Hagar's High Tide Beach Party and a bunch of other stuff. It's all on the homepage of eddietrunk.com, including Exit 111, which I'm going to be hosting. They just announced the set times and the bands for that. Tons of stuff. Please check the website. I hope to see you if I'm headed your way for whatever reason. Just keep an eye on the site and appreciate you following on Twitter because that's where I am most active with info and updates. Before we get to our interviews, though, one more thing. I do want to tell you about Blue Chew, because Blue Chew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. You want to go those extra rounds, last a little bit longer? Who doesn't? Well, at BlueChew.com, you can get the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And chewables, the big benefit there is they work a lot faster than pills, up to twice as fast. So you can get to it. You don't have to wait for the pill to hit. Get ready to go. The chewables from BlueChew.com, they can be taken on a full or an empty stomach. And an online physician consults free. So it is cheaper than the other two. I mean, the other two meaning Viagra and Cialis. So you got the benefit of the online physician. And you just go to BlueChew.com. And you are rocking and ready to go. Only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. No in-person doctor's visits. Could be a little awkward conversation. None of that. No waiting in line at a pharmacy. It's shipped directly to your door in discreet packaging. Nobody needs to know your business. The chewables from BlueChew.com are prescribed online by a doctor. They're made in the USA. BlueChew gives you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner will love it. Chew it and do it. BlueChew.com. We'll be right back. Steve Harris of Iron Maiden, and then later on, Tony and Sully from Godsmack on the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
The hit podcast based on the Emmy-nominated A&E series Cold Case Files is back with new episodes on Podcast One. Listen to powerful stories of crimes almost forgotten by the passage of time, with interviews of the people involved as investigators shine new light on these cases and bring those responsible to justice. Download new episodes of Cold Case Files every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
All right, it's Eddie Trunk, and this is the Eddie Trunk Podcast. As I mentioned, a huge interview podcast this week. Two great interviews coming up a little bit later on, Sully and Tony from Godsmack. But right now, band is currently touring in America and Canada, maybe along with Iron Maiden, one of the two biggest metal bands on the planet. Iron Maiden, their founder and leader, bassist Steve Harris. Conversation took place about a week ago on my SiriusXM radio show, Trunk Nation. Here it is, Steve Harris. Enjoy on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Steve.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
Good. How you been, man?
Yeah, not bad. You?
Good. I was just thinking, the last time I saw you and I had you on my show, we were on the Monsters of Rock cruise and you were playing with That's British right. Lion.
That's right, yeah.
Which you've got coming up again, right? You're going to be doing early next year.
Yeah, well, they offered straight away for us to do it the following year, but we couldn't, so we just straight away said, yeah, we'll do it the year after that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it again. It was a lot of fun.
I mean, of course, we're going to talk some Maiden in a second, but before we do, just tell me, what have you got other stuff lined up with British Lion as far as more music and a new record coming, or what are your plans with that?
We've got all that on the go. Yeah, we've got the new album's finished, and we're going to try and get it out by the end of this year, so it should all be ready for when we do Monsters of Rock. And we're talking about doing some, at the moment, we're just trying to pen in some US shows around that.
Well, that's awesome. So, well, I guess we'll talk more about that when a record is coming. Would you have a tentative release date for it?
No, not exactly. But I mean, I know roughly when I try and release it. It's just a question if we can get everything in place in time, which hopefully we will. It's crazy how where time goes, but hopefully we can get it all. You know, I'd like to get it out by sort of November, really, but we'll have to see.
Well, look forward to that. Look forward to a second record from British Lion coming soon in those live shows, and we'll be seeing you again on the Monsters of Rock cruise. I'll be on there broadcasting again, so we'll have to do it again. That was a fun time. Did you enjoy cruises overall, Steve? Did you enjoy that experience?
I really enjoyed it. It was great fun. It's the first time I'd ever been on a cruise, so... yeah, I didn't know what to expect, really, but it was great. Yeah. It was actually even better than I expected. So I don't know what I expected, really, but it was really good fun. Really enjoyed it.
And real quickly, is it true? Somebody had told me this. I know you live on one of the islands, right? Did we actually stop on an island that you live
No, but when they changed it, because we were originally supposed to be going to Jamaica, which I've not been to, they changed it to an island that's actually very close to where I am, but it wasn't the actual island that I'm on. No.
I was going to say you could have slept in your own bed one of the nights if you wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this tour. Finally, here in America, I think all the Maiden fans were getting a bit nervous because the Legacy of the Beast tour had pretty much played almost all over the world, but we were waiting and hoping that you would do a run in America, and now you've just started, and it's really probably the most extensive touring you've done here in the U.S. In a while, right?
Yeah, it's really good. I'm really looking forward. We've only just started. We've only done two shows so far. Third one's tonight. So it's really good. And we did like Europe last time round, and we sort of planned that we would come over this side of the pond at some point. And so it's now. And we didn't do the rest of the world, and we still have other places we haven't done yet as well. So it's a long tour. Doing Central South America as well, tied that in as well, which is great. So, yeah, a lot of fun. Good, really good.
And the tour is called Legacy of the Beast because it's actually, the name is actually after a video game that you've released. Could you tell me about that?
Yeah, it's been out a while now. Lots of people seem to like it. I'm not really a video gamer, but I did go down to where they developed it. And, I really enjoy what they were doing there and, the way they were doing it, the good people doing it and stuff like that. And, it's exciting. And I think it's another way of, getting across to some new people who would sort of not maybe get into us before that. And I think it's actually worked. I think a lot of people have got into the band and or even if there was already a bit into the band, have got into other albums and other music of the band just purely through the game. And so, it's just another avenue of getting across to people. So, yeah, it's great.
So is the set list and the songs that you play in this show, is it inspired by the video game? Are these songs featured in the game?
Yeah, most of them are. Yeah, not all of them, but yeah, most of them. And it's kind of loosely based. The show is loosely based on the game, but there are quite a few elements. I mean, I'd like to get a few more elements in there, really, from the game, because I think the graphics are so good. So we'll see.
Obviously, every time you guys tour, there's always a lot of discussion about the set list because Maiden now have so many records. You obviously put out a lot of great new music, and then of course all the classic stuff. It's hard to believe going all the way back now to 1980 with the first record. So this tour and this set has really around the world been a great crowd pleaser. People have really loved what you've done here. For you personally, Steve, playing this stuff, whether it be older or newer, what are the highlights for you in the show? What are you most enjoying playing on this set?
I'm really enjoying all of it, but yeah, I suppose at a certain point, I mean, I like playing the more, sort of difficult or technical songs. And, but then again, I'm really enjoying playing Icarus because we haven't played that for a long time either. And we're actually playing it slightly more up-tempo than the actual original albums, which, I think is where it should have been in the first place, in my opinion. But so I'm enjoying it, the whole set's really enjoyable to play. So I didn't choose the set, though, funny enough. Usually me and Bruce choose it together, but it was actually, I got it wrong. I thought it was Bruce that chose it, but apparently it was Rod. So, it's good.
So Rod actually,
whose idea it is, any good idea is a good one. So
yeah,
who comes in with it.
It's funny you mention about the tempo of Flight of Icarus, which I'm also thrilled that you're playing live. But I was listening to the Live After Death record, which I hadn't listened to in a long time. And there's definitely times where you guys have definitely changed up some tempos on some of the stuff live, huh?
Yeah, well, I think when you do an album at the time, you do what you feels right at the time. Sometimes it doesn't feel right at the time, but it still ends up going down like that or whatever. But most of it's just how you feel at the time. But then you go out and play it with a bit of adrenaline and, it's just a little bit more, bit up. Sometimes you don't want it to get too far because, like a steam train kind of thing, you just don't want it to run away with itself. But sometimes it's just pure adrenaline and stuff like that. But it's kind of, with us, it sort of sounds best to me when it's sort of on the edge and just has that fire to it. But if it goes over that edge, it can be too much. And if it's kind of under it, then the last thing you want to be is kind of floody. But, I think we've found, a really good happy medium now with most of the stuff.
I was really personally thrilled you were doing Revelations in the show. I was really glad to see that back in. That was always a favorite of mine. It's got to be a blast to be doing that one again, too, getting the crowd all into it with that, you know, that call and response part.
Yeah, it's just a really good song. I mean, it stands, a good song stands the test of time. And so, yeah, it's out there with some of our best songs, I think.
And speaking of good songs and talking about the set, and for folks listening, Iron Maiden will be playing two nights in Brooklyn coming up Friday and Saturday night, this Friday and Saturday at the Barclays Center. And then, of course, we're broadcasting to all of America and Canada. So just go to ironmaiden.com. The shows are all over the U.S. and Canada. Make sure you catch one on the Legacy of the Beast tour. But going back to the set for a second, Steve, you guys have always made space in the sets. For songs from the two albums you did with Blaze Bayley, and you're doing one from each record. Is that correct in this tour?
Well, we're doing one. Yeah, exactly. We're doing Klansman, which is from Virtual 11, and we're doing. I've got a mental block on it. I can't think what the other one is. Sign of the Cross.
Right.
Sign of the Cross, which is from X Factor. So, yeah, but I mean, Bruce is really, we've done them before anyway with Bruce, but he really likes those songs. And he was really happy to do them. And I'm not going to complain because, I'm happy with doing them songs. But I think it just mixes the set up a bit. I know those albums are not as well known as some of the other albums, especially over here, but, they're really good songs. And live, I think, they come into their own. So, it makes for an interesting set.
When you personally look back at that period for Maiden and those records, as you mentioned, not as well received, and it wasn't the band at the peak of popularity, at least here in America. But when you look back on those records, do you feel good about them? Do you still, you clearly still stand behind the material and the songs, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, I said at the time that I thought a lot of people would, in the future, get into those albums a lot more and maybe understand them a bit more and give them more of a chance. And that's what's happening. And, loads of people are, really enjoying those albums more now. So, I think they just had some really, really good songs on both those albums. And they stand up to me as, most of our other albums. But it's like anything. I think you need to sort of hear the stuff a few times. And I think a lot of people couldn't get past the fact that we had a different singer. And it was one of those things, but it was well received more in the rest of the world. Really, US was a little bit more awkward, but I think a lot more people are finding that they're giving it a second chance, if you like, and actually really enjoying them.
Talking with Steve Harris. Steve, for people who have not seen the Legacy of the Beast tour yet, and there's many because, as you said, the tour is just getting started. You'll be out there for a while. But the other big thing that everybody is talking about above and beyond the set list and how great the band sounds live is the production. And gosh, Iron Maiden is known for gargantuan stage productions over the tours and all the decades. But this one, by all accounts, even outdoes some of the stuff you've done in the past. Can you talk a little bit about what went into the show and the presentation for this tour?
Yeah, I mean, we put up a bit more money into it. I suppose we're kind of active with the stuff that we were doing. But we wanted to do something that was just taking it a little bit further and pushing the boundaries a bit. And it's worked. I mean, you never really know 100% when you're doing stuff with a new production until you get to the production rehearsal whether it's going to really work as well as you want it to. But I think this one has exceeded all expectations, really. It's really great. Of course, I'm facing the other way and whatever, but I saw it on production rehearsals and this and that and the other, and I think it looks really, really good. And, I think people are just raving about it, and that's great.
I was thinking the other day, I came across a photograph, and I don't expect you to remember this, but back in 2000, I came to your offices in England and did a national radio special for the Brave New World record and the reintroduction of Bruce and Adrian coming back into the band. It's hard for me to believe that was 19 years ago already that all happened. And if you look at Iron Maiden, the two different phases with Bruce from when he left to when he came back in 2000, I mean, this whole past 19 years has been pretty remarkable, because in most parts of the world, after decades, the band is seemingly bigger than you've ever been.
Yeah, it's amazing, really. I don't know where the time goes. It's crazy. It's scary, really, what happens with the time. But, it just seems to be getting bigger and better. And, yeah, I mean, what can you say? You take it all day long. It's great. We're really enjoying it. Everyone's enjoying it. You don't know how long we're going to sort of be doing it for, so everyone's looking at it. You know, we're just totally enjoying every gig and taking each day as it comes, really.
Well, along those lines, how is Bruce doing? Because we shouldn't forget that Bruce was obviously very ill there for a while, battled cancer, and I've seen him and talked to him since. He seems to be doing great. It was remarkable the last time you guys toured for Book of Souls, how good he was, what a long set you guys played. Seemingly, no one would ever know he was coming off of beating cancer. His health is okay? Everything is fine with him?
His stamina? Yeah, his health is great, and he's doing really well, and he's enjoying it. And I think, you know, obviously his outlook on life is, you know, maybe different to before. And he's just really, really positive about everything. And, it's, you know, it's great. All good.
Yeah, and you alluded to this kind of a second ago where you said, you know, you don't know how much longer you guys can keep doing this. Maiden have to deliver and are expected to deliver a big, high-energy show. You're not up there sitting on a bar stool strumming an acoustic. When will you know, how will you know that the time to put Maiden to bed has come? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we'll all feel that. If we feel we're not cutting it anymore, then, you know, we'll discuss it, and that'll probably be the end of it. But at the moment, we don't feel like that. We feel like we're definitely still, you know, pulling our weight, so to speak. And, you know, we're just doing well. You know, I think, you know, so far so good. I don't want to tempt fate, but we are doing good.
Well, I say that all the time about my favorite bands. You can look at so many of them that are still so good so many years on. The only time as a fan that I say, well, maybe they should start about hanging up is when key members aren't there or they're not nearly as good as they once were. You know, you and I know, are huge UFO fans, and they've announced their final tour. And as much as I love that band and as great as Phil still is, and sadly we just lost Paul Raymond, I said, you know what? Okay, that seems to kind of make sense. They're still pretty good, but they're going out still relatively strong, but they know the end is coming as far as their ability to play well. So it's just kind of, you know, I guess feeling it out and knowing when you go out respectfully and still strong.
Well, I think it's a personal thing, obviously. So, you know, if they feel it's the right time, when is the right time? I suppose, you know, I presume you'd know when that was. You wouldn't need your best friend to tell you that. I think you would know it yourself. So, you know, I think we will know as well if and when that time comes.
Do you feel good physically? You guys are such a physical band. You're on a giant stage running around. We all are getting older, aches and pains and stuff. Is it hard to get up there the next day, or do you feel good physically?
I'm actually feeling pretty good at the moment. I thought I'd feel a lot worse than this, because usually the first couple of weeks is the toughest. I mean, it is, even when you're 35, let alone, you know, the age we are now. But so now at the moment I'm feeling, you know, I can't speak for the others too much, but I'm feeling really good. So, but I've been preparing for it as much as I can, maybe not as prepared on this tour as before, possibly, you know, but, you know, running every day and stuff like that or whatever. But, no, I feel good. I wish I'd played more football or soccer, as you call it, but, over the last year or whatever, I haven't played much of that, but I've been doing lots of running, playing tennis and stuff. So, you know, I actually feel pretty good at the moment, but it's only two gigs in, but yeah, not bad.
Two more quick things, Steve. I know you have a show and then I'll let you go. I'm curious, you know, I read and I had Bruce on for my show for his book. Did you read his book?
Yeah, I read it. I think it's good. I mean, you know, he could have been a little bit more open with it. Some people were complaining, but, he wrote what he wanted to write. I thought it was quite funny in a way, because he was writing a lot of it when he was on the road, you know, or actually in a dressing room or whatever, and that's kind of what he does. I don't know, I couldn't do that. But I sort of admire it that he can. But I just said to him, oh, you're one of them annoying kids at school that used to do their homework in the dinner hour, and he just laughed.
Well, he told me he actually wrote it with pen and paper, which I was blown away by. They actually hand wrote the book. I was like,
oh,
wow.
Oh, yeah, he did, yeah. But it was just, you know, he was just scribbling down bits, you know, here and there. And, you know, I don't know how he does it, really, but he, I can't. I need to kind of be more focused on what I'm doing, I suppose. I don't know. But I can't say he got away with it, because it was really good and it did really well. And, you know, good luck for him. But I couldn't work like that, but I admire people that can.
Do you have any interest in writing a book at all?
Well, that's the thing. I wouldn't mind writing one. And there's a few things I'd like to put out there to get things right. There's lots, you know, over the years, of things have been said and written. And I'd like to put them right. But as I said, if I do it, I'd like to do it as a real project that I'd really sort of take time over. And at the moment, I don't have time to do that, really.
And, you know, all the rage these days seems to be either biopics or documentaries. Have you ever been approached or considered doing something like that for Iron Maiden?
Well, again, it's just finding the time to do it. It's just really difficult. I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see.
Steve, I appreciate the time. Last thing, you have on the road with you your son's band. Is that correct? Raven Age?
That's right, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about them and people coming to the shows. Tell them a little bit about them.
They're doing great. They just signed a new deal the other day in North America, well, the world, actually, with a company called Explorers. Very exciting. And they're doing really well. Their album, I think their album is absolutely fantastic. I really do. I think it's a world-class album. I mean, people think I'm biased, but I would be their harshest critic too. But they've got, new singer. And I think he's taken him to another level as well. No disrespect to the last guy. I thought the last guy was great, actually. But the new guy is just, he's killing it. I think he's just doing a great job on it and smashing it. And I really, I think they're great. They're doing a really good job. They've got so far, they've gone down really well. They're just a really good musical band with really strong songs, good players. So, it's all good, really.
Well, a number of years ago, you had your daughter, Lauren, opening some shows for Maiden. Is she still active in music, or is she not pursue that anymore?
She moved into doing acting now. So, she's gone from the frying pan into the fire. It's a tough industry we're in, and now she's gone into an even harder one. So, I don't know. It's difficult. But, no, she's really enjoying what she's doing right now. So, maybe in the future she'll come back and do some couple of things. She's got some material, a really strong material that was never released. So we'll see.
Well, listen, I know you have a show. I appreciate a few minutes, and I remind everybody to see Iron Maiden on the Legacy of the Beast tour. Go to ironmaiden.com for a date. And if you're in the New York area, Brooklyn, two shows at the Barclays Center this coming Friday and Saturday. A lot of me being a New York-based guy, Steve, I know Maiden but whether it be the Meadowlands or whether it be the Garden or whether it be Long Island, Nassau Coliseum, or now the new Barclays Center, you guys have a ton of history and I'm sure great memories in New York City, right?
Yeah, it's always been great for us, and all the audience has always been great. I've always enjoyed being there, playing there, and I always enjoy it, so looking forward to it.
All right, well, I'm sure you'll have everybody out there in force. I look forward to catching a show soon. Again, ironmaiden.com to find a date wherever you're listening to go see one of the all-time greats, Iron Maiden, and one of the all-time greats, Steve Harris, joining me for a few minutes. Steve, thank you so much. Say hi to all the guys, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
I will do, Mike. Cheers.
Take care.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I had a chance to see Maiden myself last weekend. Truly phenomenal. I thank Steve Harris for the interview. Maiden does not do much press in America, and I'm grateful that every time they come around, they do give me some time. Great to talk to Steve, and look forward to seeing him again on the Monsters of Rock Cruise with British Lion early next year. That should be great. He was great on the last one as well. All right, cool interview, and very, very awesome to have Steve on. Next up, we'll get to Sully and Tony from Godsmack on the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
The hit podcast based on the Emmy-nominated A&E series Cold Case Files is back with new episodes on Podcast One. Listen to powerful stories of crimes almost forgotten by the passage of time with interviews of the people involved as investigators shine new light on these cases and bring those responsible to justice. Download new episodes of Cold Case Files every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Do
Live by Live has all of your favorite music, and you can listen for free, whether you hit play on one of our hundreds of curated music stations or create your own custom artist radio station. You'll find the music you love on Live by Live. Visit livexlive.com or search LiveX Live in the App Store or Google Play and listen for free now.
Okay, so I was mentioning earlier in the podcast that I ran into Sully from Godsmack a couple weeks ago, headlining at a festival called Incarceration. I did shoot an interview with him that we did in a jail cell, had a jail where this festival, a closed jail where this festival took place, and that was really cool. You'll see that on a coming episode of Trunk Fest on Access TV. Then a couple days later, the Godsmack guys were in New York City, so I grabbed Sully and Tony, had them come by my studio, and here's how that conversation went. Sully and Tony of Godsmack are here. Good to see you guys.
Thanks for having us.
What's up?
How are you? All right?
Doing great.
We should, just so people are clear, the jail was a festival, Incarceration, that you guys played a couple weeks ago. And I talked about it on the air. It was shot at a prison that was an active prison up until 1990, but the prison that was used for Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
And anybody that saw any of our social media know the photos are unbelievable, man. And then you guys actually shot the video for Awake in there. You were telling me when we did the TV bit there.
Right, yeah, in 2000 we shot a video there with like two or three busloads of drunk Godsmack fans that we were trying to get to be the inmates. And then we had this crazy storm come through, so we had to postpone the shoot to like 2 or 3 in the morning. So by the time we got them all in their jail cells and got them staged for the shoot, they were just wasted, drunk, which made the video even better, you know?
Had you guys ever heard of that place before you shot a video there back in almost 20 years ago?
Not me.
Well, we heard of it from Shawshank.
Right.
We knew we were going there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But you hadn't heard of it as far as a tourist attraction, which is basically what it is right now, or anything like that. It's the first time. So was it a director or something that turned you onto it and said that's where we should do this?
Well, yeah, it was actually he's a great friend of mine now. His name's Troy Smith. That's exactly where we met, was for that song. He shot the video for it. But me and him had kind of wrote the script, and we knew we wanted to do this prison style kind of video. And so we started talking, and I was like, I actually suggested, I'm like, what about the place where they shot Shawshank? Because I thought it was in Maine, which we're from Boston. We thought maybe that's an easy trek, you know, to shoot there and bring a bunch of fans from Boston area. But it turns out that the real prison that they filmed Shawshank at, even though the story was based in Maine, was in Mansfield, Ohio.
Right, where we were. Yeah. Over the years, I know we're going to talk about the record and all that stuff, but over the years, making videos, including with the new record, where right up to the new song, which we'll talk about in a second, but you guys have been, you've made some really cool videos over the history of the band. Back in the day, you were making them because it was a big deal to get on MTV and it really drove a record. Now people make them as, I guess, to watch them on YouTube and as a marketing tool for the record. But were you guys a band that enjoyed making videos? Did you like doing them?
They're usually fun. I think it's the most fun for Sully because he's always, you know, got a lot of input on how he wants it to be. And, you know, a lot of them he's actually written the script for.
Right.
But for me, yeah, they're usually, it's a good time. I mean, back when we used to drink, we'd always have alcohol. So that made it fun.
Some of them were fun, though. Like, Voodoo was fun. It was fun putting that together because everyone kind of, you know, got to play some kind of role in it. And then we also had like real kind of ceremonies from the Witches of Salem, Massachusetts. And remember, we had that wolf show up on set. The guy brought a real wolf that came out of my chest at one point of the video. Yeah.
Where was that shot? For
it was all in Massachusetts.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Just different locations. But, and then we shot that whole, the witches did a ceremony inside Hammond Castles, which is in Gloucester, Mass. And it turns out that the guy Hammond, I can't remember if his name was Thomas Hammond or something. Hammond, he was an inventor. He had this like laboratory and he literally built this castle for his bride to be. This is the story. Built this castle for his bride to be, had her brought in by boat because it's right on the ocean of Gloucester, Massachusetts, and proposed to her from the master bedroom balcony.
Oh, wow.
Right. And I found out later this guy invented the remote control. He invented the little light that goes on in the refrigerator. But I guess he also had a big handle on being a part of the atomic bomb design or whatever, and tried to sell it to us. And we didn't buy it. And he sold it to the Germans, or his team did, or something. But he was just an inventor.
Mm.
So when you see that video, that castle that the witches are doing the ceremony, and that was actually his house.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is. What was the... Of the ones you've made, and I doubt it's you're going to say bulletproof, because now it's so much cheaper to make videos than it was back in the day. But what was the most expensive one that you spent? Like, because the budgets back in the day were crazy on videos.
I Stand Alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I Stand Alone.
That was a big one.
What'd it cost you?
$750,000.
Wow. That's amazing.
Right.
But we had The Rock.
We had The Rock in it. Before he was even really super big movie star. And that was really fun. And Kelly Hugh, the other star of the movie, was in it. But also, you know, we had a big budget because the movie company, you know, they were putting up money too to do
it. Did they pay
for it? Promote it?
Or was it the old R word, recoupable?
Yeah, I'm sure it was recoupable, because we're still actually not making any money from that video. And that was in 2003.
Right.
No, but we, I think, I don't know if the label and the movie company split it or what happened, but I do know it was a pretty hefty budget we got to work with.
Well, anybody that's seen videos, the video for Bulletproof from the new Godsmack record, knows that Sully, you get it. Tony seems like, yeah, I'll do. I like doing them, but it seems like you really embrace them, and you really embraced Bulletproof, which is, as I said to you when we did the TV thing a week ago, I think the song is just over 3 minutes long. The video's over 10.
Yeah.
So you know there's a lot of extra shit going on in the video. But you got into that one. That was fun, I'm assuming, creating this character and doing all this stuff.
Totally. Yeah. We just kind of made a decision not too long ago that we're just like, you know, it's just... To stage a video and get that, you know, super serious about it is just kind of like, why? What's the sense anymore? It's supposed to be fun. Music's supposed to be fun. That's why we get into music in the first place, right? Just to jam in your garage with your friends and crack beers and things like that. So I think the videos now are kind of becoming the same thing. We're older now. It's like, you know, how many tough poses can you really do? And so we're just trying to have fun with it. And that one was really fun. That was super fun for me because I got to really be in a whole different character. And I think everyone had fun with it. I think everyone did really well with it, too. Like, everyone that we brought into the video just, I thought, did great.
Tony, you were into it?
Yeah. Luckily, he didn't give me too much to do. But Robbie and Shannon, they had to do some pretty crazy stuff. I had fun laughing at them. And he has fun doing you know, acting even, you know, on these things and putting it together. So
the next one's going to be even better, I think.
So, well, now there's a video for Scars, which we're going to talk about Scars in a second, but you've got another one coming after that?
Yeah. Scars is just, you know, a live performance and, you know, a lot of our kind of more heartfelt meet and greets and, you know, people that struggle with mental illnesses and certain things like that. And so it just became what it was, kind of a day in a life on the road with Godsmack. But we are going to be launching another single eventually. We have a really great idea for the script. I actually have it all written out already. It's done. It's like ready to shoot. But we just need to figure out when it's going to drop and, you know, and that kind of thing. But I think it's going to give Bulletproof a run for its money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're going
it's
back.
It's another mini movie.
Are you re?
And Pasquale may make a cameo.
I was just going to say, is Pasquale coming back?
I think so. He's become a pretty, you know, favored character with the fans right now.
He should have his own line of merch at the meet and greets at the Godsmack show.
I told Billy Ray Cyrus, I'm like, maybe it's Billy Ray and Pasquale, you know. Reality show.
So you're clearly somebody that feels there's a lot of value still in doing videos. You put a lot into them. Obviously, you're talking about doing a fourth one already. There's a third one, one now for Scars now. So you feel that even though, because I talk to artists all the time, they're like, oh, you know, who cares? People watch them on their phone or whatever. But it still is a good driver to let people know you have a record out and hear a song, and a good way to hear a song. And yeah, it's an on-demand world, so I guess it's you guys still feel it's really
worth
doing.
You know what I think it is? I think we're starting to look at it now is like just pure entertainment. You know, I think if you can just capture an audience and entertain them for 4, 5, 10 minutes, whatever it is, then, you know, it's kind of like they learn about the music as the backdrop behind it. And maybe that just turns them on to the band in general. But, you know, I think the Foo Fighters kind of paved the way for a lot of that kind of entertaining, funny video style, you know, rock and roll band thing. So, but I kind of agree with it. I think now it's not really about like promoting that song in the video and making the, to me, it's just more about like, how do you entertain people? How do you get them to smile or laugh and be, you know, just have them enjoy that moment. And I think that's how you become a little bit more memorable to them.
It's hard though, man, with my kids, I try to explain to, and even to younger people, like, and you guys are certainly old enough to remember this, that when a video came on MTV, like, the world premiere video, like you waited, you sat there waiting for that video.
Even before that, though, I remember when MTV was just live concert videos. Like I remember seeing AC/DC and stuff like that, and that's when I first seen MTV or heard about MTV. There wasn't like videos. Yet.
Triumph, not, Billy Squire, Audio Speedwagon. Yeah, all those.
I thought
clips.
That was. I still have those memories, and I love that.
But the impact of like, but when it moved on, when you got into the late 80s, it was just like the world premiere of whatever is coming up. Yeah. And there was like, it was this thing that you just waited and hung on. And now it's like, oh, there's a new guy. Oh, I'll click here and boom. It's just, but that's the music industry now, obviously.
Everyone's overstimulated.
But what's really cool, and I was thinking about this coming in, is you guys came into the business and correct me if I'm wrong, but I would think at a really good time because you got a really good run and bite out of the days of actually selling a ton of physical records and having multi-platinum records and having that whole MTV world. But you're also not relics where today you're still very much relevant. You're still doing really well with the new record. You're still out there playing and headlining festivals, and you've adapted to what the business is now. So you to me, if you guys would have come maybe 10, 15 years earlier, you would have, you know, just been thought of in that world.
Been dead.
But you've straddled both worlds really well. You've transitioned into what it is now really well. So you've seen all sides of the business, really a transitionary time, I would think. Mm. You agree with that?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we used
to sell millions of records.
And now you have a record with When Legends Rise that's doing extremely well.
Yeah.
But do radio... maybe a third number one single, or do we have a third number one single?
It's actually today. Today.
Today went to one.
Yeah.
For Scars.
Yeah, we just got the email this morning.
Congrats.
Thank you.
So three number one rock radio singles from this record.
On this record.
But let me ask you this. Do you, like, if you had that on a record, say, in the late 90s, the reaction...
Would be rich.
Exactly. That's where I'm going. You'd have triple platinum records on your wall, right? Yeah. Do you feel... maybe you feel in it a different way? You don't actually see physical sales, but do you see it at shows? Is that where it shows up?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing a change in the attendance, and we're seeing a new audience as well, which is kind of nice for us because, you know, we made a conscious decision to change this record up and just create something a little bit different than what we've been known to write in the past. And I think that's now reflecting on our audience, our sales, the attendance, who's showing up. You know, we're seeing a lot more females at the show. We're seeing a lot younger kids at the shows. Their parents are bringing in this new generation that are learning about Godsmack through their parents because, you know, these same people that were 25 years old that were Godsmack fans in 98
45,
are now 50 and they 50, have an 18-year-old of their own and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really cool. And we also... We welcome that because we feel like the first 20 years of our career was really a different timeline for us. And it was, you know, it was just a different period. I was a lot younger. We were all younger. I was angrier. There was more things that it was like figuring out in life. And now we're on the other side of it. And this album really is kind of a new door that's opening for us to kind of start a new chapter in our career.
Well, when you were on this show just before the record came out, when we talked about that with When Legends Rise, and you had said at that time, I reminded you this last week, you had said at that time, you were a little almost apprehensive about how this record was going to be received by Godsmack fans because you were going to try doing some different things. Mm. clearly, here we are now, it's probably a year since then or whatever, 8 months, whatever it is since we talked and the records come out. Clearly, it worked, you know, because you just said three rock radio number one songs. Yeah. So you're a bit of a gamble, but needless to say, it paid off.
Yeah, it really was just kind of the unknown, but we just knew that if we kept writing in the same format, then I think we would have just continued to have the same results. I don't even know if it would have just like deteriorated on us, but I just feel like it was kind of, it had leveled off and it was just stagnant, you know? And I just really wanted to kind of liven it up again. And so these guys that actually came to me first and they were actually suggesting, you know, maybe you should kind of like start doing majority of the writing again. We always feel like we've done the best when you were kind of doing the writing. But I had told them, I said, you know, I appreciate that. But at the same time, I've been thinking about if I'm going to do that on this round of writing, I personally would like to even work with some outside writers, because I was just curious to see how some of those experts in those fields perceive Godsmack and want, I wonder what they think we should sound like in 2018 and that kind of thing, right? And so it was really interesting for me to kind of go outside the box and just see how other people hear us or how other people think we could be. And when I started getting some music presented to me, that's when, you know, things started to really take a different road as far as the style of the song or whatever, but I still don't think we went that far out that it alienated our audience.
No,
it's still power and it's good hard rock record. Right. It's just some different, you know, different textures and colors in it.
But that's interesting, Tony. You guys encouraged this. It sounds like the other guys in the band said, going into this record, said, "Hey, let's try to change it up," whether it be Sully taking all the reins or bringing in other people. You embrace the idea.
Yeah. At first it was, you know, different for us, cause we've always done it ourselves, and we bring riffs to Sully, and then if he likes it, then he'll help make it into a song and it could become a song, you know? But it's hard, to sound different, like than myself. I'll come up with riffs and I have a certain way I play, you know? So it's really hard to have a whole new sound out of somebody, so like myself, where I'm just a guitar player and I can only offer him riffs. So it was much different for us, you know, much different experience. But I'm looking at the results and I'm saying yes.
Yeah. And the people you worked with as far as outside contributors, were they people you had always wanted to work with, or did somebody sort of place them with you and say, "Hey, these, try working with this guy, try working with that guy"?
That's what it was. We went to the label who now were with BMG, and they also have been, you know, known over the years, a very big publishing company as well. And so we just figured, okay, they have all these publishers, all these writers, like, let's, you know, utilize what we have now, the resources. And so I just asked them, I said, "You know, this is what I'm thinking about doing. Bring me some people." The one person I did write with that I had been looking forward to writing with for a while was Clint Lowry from Seven Dust. Mm-hmm. And me and him had just been friends since the 80s, and we always wanted to just kind of get together. And it gave us an opportunity to do that, and we got a song out of it. It's a song called "Just One Time," on the B-side of our record. like John Feldman, I wrote "When Legends Rise" with. He's done a lot of work with a lot of kind of pop punk bands and stuff, 5 Seconds of Summer, Blink 182, things like that. But Eric Ron was a no name that I personally had never heard of yet. I guess he had done some stuff, nothing too crazy, but like, Panic at the Disco, I think. And
so when these people come, so to me, like, I'm fascinated by songwriting, because I think it's, I mean, as I say so many times, I love great guitar playing, great singing, great drums, but there's a lot of great musicians. Writing great songs, to me, is the true and tangible of what makes a band great. The ability to create out of thin air great songs, right? And I would think, not being able to write or play a thing myself, I would think that that's a really personal thing. Like, when you're going to write something, whether it be lyrics, music, whatever, and present it to an audience, like, it's a really personal thing. Mm-hmm. So when you worked with these people, how did that process actually work? Did you physically get in a room with them, or were you trading files over email and say, "Hey, try that or try that"? And did, I imagine there were some people like, "Nah, I'm not feeling this. This isn't going to work." Right. I mean, take me through how that all works.
Yeah. I personally chose to get on a plane and go see these people and spend a day or two with them in a studio and, you know, just see if there was some kind of chemistry there. But I never, like, they'll, none of them wrote any lyrics or melodies. It was just strictly music they were presenting me with, like, oh, we think this could be kind of a cool riff, a cool groove, or whatever. And we would sit there and we would start tweaking the arrangement and just kind of getting the music together. And then from there, I would step outside and I'd start working on lyrics and melodies, and that's kind of how it came together. Because you're right. For me, I have to have a personal connection with the song in order to, like, be able to represent it live, especially. So lyrics and melodies, I always write myself because I have to have that connection. But that's kind of how it came about was, you know, I would go visit some different people, the label set up some names and, you know, I kind of sifted through it and picked a certain group. And then I went, spent a day or two here, a day or two there, and just, you know, kind of made my rounds, and some of them, you know, made the record and some of them didn't. There was only, you know, it's funny that a couple of the ones that I have a co-write, like Legends Rise and Bulletproof, were actually the first two singles that came out, too.
Oh, so wow.
That was interesting. I think Bulletproof was really the one. That was the first one I, you know, when we came back. And I was also doing some writing on my own, and the guys were writing in Florida. So I was going to visit them at some point as well and work with my own band. But I was just trying to, like, keep as many options open as I could, because I think variety is really the spice of life. And I mean, the Beatles even wrote 100 songs before they picked their 13 for their record or whatever. So it's a numbers game to really find good, you know, good songs. And that was the one I was the most nervous about, because, you know, I had a pretty good demo of that song, Bulletproof, at the time. And it was time to go see these guys and see what they were up to. And I went down to visit them, and we were swapping, you know, playing. They were playing me some of the stuff they've been working on. And then I was like, all right, I want to, you know, play you guys a song. Keep your, you know, an open mind here. And I played in Bulletproof because it really does have a commercial kind of aspect to it, you know, a lot more than we had done in the past. And I was kind of sweating bullets because I was thinking, oh, they're going to think, where is he going with this record? It's, you know, it's not the gritty, grungy, chuggy Godsmack that everyone's known, but luckily for me, you know, they liked it and embraced it, and I think that kind of like set the tone for the record and where we were going to go with it.
And clearly the fans have as well, because three singles, that's unprecedented for a band these days in rock, so that is awesome. And the third and the latest being Scars. Now, the history of that song, Sully, give us that story.
Well, it's a much longer story than we have time for right now. But a couple years ago, I was introduced to a really great person named Stephanie, who a lot of people know as Lady Gaga, hanging out. We had some time together. And
Wait, 1 second there. How did that introduction happen?
It was through a mutual friend of ours.
Okay, so it's not like she turned up at a Godsmack show, because she has been known to show up.
Oh, that would have been nice.
At metal shows.
She's a rock fan.
She's shown up at a Maiden show or a Kiss show, so it wouldn't be crazy to see that.
Yeah, no, she loves metal. She loves rock music.
So it was a meeting sort of set up, or you're at a party.
You're
and you're
really
both there.
Digging for yeah, that, well, you can't just accept
you can't, the fact. No, because you can't just say I just happened to run into Lady
no,
Gaga.
I didn't say I ran into her. I said that we had met through a mutual friend of ours, and
blind date. I mean, what?
We just kind of hit it off, and we hung out, and it was nice. You know, she's a great person, super talented, as you know, and really, like, I have a lot of respect for her. She's extremely smart. You know, very very smart businesswoman as well, and But anyways, you know, just through us hanging out, you know, sometimes it's funny how, you know, through conversations and different kind of encounters, we start to understand that some of us have these, like, physical or emotional scars that we battle, you know, and that sometimes we feel you know, we feel vulnerable about, and that kind of thing. And this whole thought process kind of took me down this road of, like, wow, I wonder how many people you know, bring someone into their life that they really enjoy being around and they, you know, they feel connected to or whatever. And then you do something or you say something and it triggers something that is human nature. It just makes us run away. It makes us shut down instead of dealing with whatever it is we're dealing with. And so it kind of created this whole thought process for me about the song, and how many people out there probably have these, you know, these what we call scars, these imperfections. And so I had it written out on acoustic, and then when we were in the studio, I transposed it onto a piano, and then it just started to take a new life, and it became more of this epic style November Rain, Dream On-ish kind of ballad, you know, vibe. And then I just started thinking, you know, I don't know too many rock bands that are doing this again. Like, I remember kind of vintage rock being, you know, and it just reminded me of that. So we kind of pursued it and went down the rabbit hole and took that song really into the ballad form. But then it just really took on a much bigger life, because then this whole meaning behind the song really got us thinking about, you know, creating this organization, which is, as you know, the Scars Foundation. Mm-hmm. And that was what inspired this nonprofit that we just launched, which was that the song Under Your Scars. Mm. Yeah.
It's an amazing, the video's great. The song is just incredible. I mean, your vocal on it is unbelievable, man.
Thank you.
It's really killer. And the success on the record is just amazing, man. I'm really happy for you, because I know, and they're going to cut me here because I know you guys have to do other stuff, but I know, like I said, if we pulled that tape of you when you were on, just when the record came out, it was like, well, we're going to see how people are going to feel about it. You know, it's like you were very diplomatic.
Yeah,
about,
you don't
well,
know.
I don't know what's going to happen with this. I mean, we tried some different stuff. We'll see if the fans come along. And now it's awesome that here we are, you know, not even a year later, and you guys are sitting here talking about a third rock number one. So the experiment works, Sully.
Yeah,
exhale, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Exhale. You're
feels
good.
Good.
Well, and the tour, you guys are out now, right?
Yeah, we've been out since last September, and I think we're going to be out till at least the summer of 2020.
Well, if you got a record that's humming like this,
it's
why
working,
not?
Yeah,
right? Get
yeah.
out there, and the shows are incredible. I mean, every time I see you guys, you're blowing more shit up on the stage, and there's just the production and the delivery is just incredible, man. Mm-hmm. I always catching you guys at whether they're festivals in a jail or Rocklahoma or wherever we are. It's always great to see you guys out there killing.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to be back in the Big Apple too, you know. Yeah. Haven't been here in a little while, so we're looking forward to this one too.
All right. Well, can't let you go without giving me a Pats prediction real quick.
I got to tell you.
We're 6 weeks out from the
season. Listen, man, born and raised in Boston my entire life. Don't hate on me. I know we're here. And
well, that's why you said Big Apple, so I teed that right up.
Oh,
right.
I see. Okay, yeah.
Well, it's a national radio show.
New Yorkers don't, you know.
It's a national radio show.
Oh, that's right. But I am sitting in New York doing it, so let's just talk about that for a second. New York Giants are the only team that took away our undefeated season.
My team, baby.
I have to hate them for
my
that.
My team.
Because Eli Manning took away.
Thank you.
You know, at that point.
18-1.
And by the way, me and my drummer were at the Super Bowl. And I was just at that point, of course I was there to support my team, but I was really there as a fan of the NFL because I am a football fan.
Me too.
And I wanted to just be a part of that history. And you guys just ripped it
18-1. I got the t-shirt. I almost wore it today.
Oh,
it just says 18-1 in red, white, and
good.
Blue.
Congratulations on that
We've
one
only
game.
Won 75 Super Bowls, so you'll be fine over there. We got to go. These guys got to get out here and do stuff. Great to see you. Congrats,
yeah, thanks,
Tony,
man.
Sully. New
Thank
album
you.
Is out now, When Legends Rise. See the guys on tour, and they'll be back here in a few more months to talk about 5 or 6 more number ones, I'm sure. let's see.
You just jinxed it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good seeing
see
you.
Yeah.
Really cool what's going on with Godsmack. Congrats on all their success on their new album, When Legends Rise. And thanks to Sully and Tony for a few minutes there. Again, coming by my SiriusXM radio show a couple of weeks ago, and glad to bring you that interview, as well as the interview earlier with Steve Harris of Iron Maiden. Hope you enjoyed this huge Eddie Trunk podcast with some great guests and some great conversation. I thank you for listening. Spread the word about it. New shows every Thursday, free. Apple Podcasts or podcastone.com. That, of course, is podcastone.com. Katie Irizarry is the producer of the Eddie Trunk podcast. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter at Eddie Trunk, and be sure to check out eddietrunk.com. All my appearances on the homepage of the website, Instagram at Eddie Trunk as well. And be sure to listen to me every day on SiriusXM 106 Volume, live 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, replaying 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, or on the SiriusXM app. And finally, please check out Trunk Fest, new episodes 9:30 Eastern every Sunday night on Access TV. Guys, have a great week. I'll catch you next Thursday for another all-new episode.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.